Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to You're Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
Textual healing.
So this is not the newest thing, but it's sort of been popping up in the news. This, I guess you call it a trend.
Indiana, a hot topic, if you will.
A hot topic they might talk about on The View.
Indiana's by the way, this America's week, favorite state. Yeah, go ahead, Elliot.
And America's favorite state, Indiana. What state is it again? It's the what's it called?
The something Hooters state? Or something or something.
Oh, the Hoosier state.
Hoosier state. Yeah.
Hooters
state.
They launched a snitch line, and it's an anti-LGBTQ snitch line, and it backfired. So Attorney General of the state, Todd Rokita, launched a form for reporting schools that teach about LGBTQ issues, socio-emotional learning, Black history, topics that are just deemed to be political ideology, quote unquote. Obviously, we've read and heard a lot about this in Florida, like the Don't Say Gay bill. So early examples of this included pride flags or gender support plans for transgender youth who, God forbid, come out at school. So the attorney general planned to, quote, verify the information submitted to the site, which actually was referencing previously debunked claims of, quote, of litter boxes in schools within the state regarding, quote, other kin. So basically, the internet had made up this idea that children were being children wanted to be called other kin, in that they were acting like animals who needed to poop and pee in litter boxes.
Oh yeah, that was the thing like a year ago. Like somehow the internet got wind that it, and it was based in nothing in reality.
But nothing.
The internet got wind that some kids were pretending to be animals and they wanted accommodations, and as a result, there were now litter boxes in schools because they were pooping a litter.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, it's not real. It is. Do you want to get to the point, or can I make a quick point?
Oh, go for it.
It
just backfired, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, we'll get to how it backfired in a second. It is unnerving that, like, we have created a society that is, I don't know how you want to phrase this, gullible or eager for such bizarre information, but I find it upsetting that adults wouldn't be doing like just even one extra degree of like logical consideration as to whether there are actually litter boxes in schools now, and that you know, I don't know the very start or beginning of that particular conspiracy theory, but it's like there has to be a moment when like a rational person will say, if this is true, okay, but like there's just no way this is true. And it seems like there are more people than ever who are falling for shit like that. And I find it very upsetting.
I mean, it's the same thing with like, I mean, fucking like even just now on social media, there's this whole thing of like the conspiracies around Taylor Swift and her endorsing Biden and all these like I saw one the other day, which is just bonkers, where some conspiracy theorist on the far right, I don't know what his real politics are, but he was like, notice the bottom of Taylor's shoes, and they were red, and he was inferring to her like basically wooing girls and people into like Satanism and shit, and that's what he was referring to, when it's like, no bitch, that's just a Louis Vuitton that is just a fucking Louis Vuitton shoe that has a red sole. But the tweet got like thousands of retweets, and of course,
well, it's also actually that conspiracy theory was broadcast like on mainstream. I mean, I guess you called Fox mainstream at this point, because it's not as insane as News Nation or whatever, One America, whatever they're called. But it was on Fox News, like, reported as, I guess, news or maybe opinion that this idea of Taylor Swift being an inside agent for the Democrats, for the liberals, for the Biden campaign. I mean, and to your point, Brent, it's like people are hungry for lunacy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it like, I've always believed that there's a certain percentage of people that are fucking idiots, and everyone knows that, and there's nothing you can do to change it. And just to throw out, there are fucking idiots on both sides of the political spectrum as well. I'll note, but yeah, it seems like, you know, there's any number of factors. I always blame social media, and I will again. But that said, I also wonder if, and this is a topic that's come up a number of times in my personal conversations with friends recently, which is the idea that culturally we haven't really processed how disturbing the pandemic was, how isolating it was, mm-hmm. and that it, I think, contributed to a fairly small but not unnoteworthy sort of shift in cultural consciousness, towards a distrust, growing larger distrust of public institutions,
FBI,
I mean, any number of iterations therein. And I think part and parcel of that being a zeal for irrational, absurd.
That's when
cartoonish Q, conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Q seemed to thrive in the sort of throes of a pandemic. You know, it just, everything seemed to go haywire and upside down. And Trump obviously was their idiot king. But I mean, who would have ever expected it to, I never would have expected people to be this gullible that it would go so far. But you know, I mean, the good thing about this story, at least, is that as soon as they made this quote unquote snitch line available, as soon as it was made public, it was flooded by stupid memes. Yeah. The script for the B movie, the script to Oppenheimer, yeah. the script to Euro
Trip. This is such an example of, and it happened a little bit during, was it the pandemic? I forget where it was, I guess, during the pandemic, and where when crazy people use the internet for one way, and then the I guess you could call it the liberal left uses it to kind of get back at them in a cute way. There was one where Trump had some sort of like rally or something. I think it was during the election in 2020. And because of the pandemic, they had to like register online or something. So some group decided to go and like register all these fake names to this rally. And then, of course, it sold out real quick because it was free. But yet no one showed up because in a weird way, I do kind of love when they use it in a non-threatening, silly way. And it's like, yeah, you know what? We're going to call out your hypocrisy here and make a shit show of it the way you're making a shit show of things in a very real way.
And it sort of takes the horror out of it a little bit by flooding the site with the script to Eurotrip and memes of young Sheldon saying bazinga.
Bazinga.
I also love, like, in March of 2023, the Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey launched a website to also snitch on gender-affirming care clinics. Within a month, the website was taken down after being flooded with the B-movie script.
So funny. So funny.
Like, well, I guess I'm not going to call them trolls, but like these silly people or whatever on the left or whomever are really into the B-movie as a goof.
I mean,
like, I guess,
have you seen the
B-movie?
Like, it memes. Is kind of funny.
I was going to say, what's the connection? Was that?
I don't think there is a connection. It's just, it's just stupid. I don't know. There must be a connection, though.
Like, I don't, well, the B-movie and Shrek and SpongeBob and a few other sort of cultural products, the Minions, sort of like are ambassadors of like a millennial, uh-huh. Not really Gen Z, but like a millennial tongue-in-cheekness about the internet. So that level, that like area of memedom comes from millennials for some reason.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, who knew the B movie? But anyway, it's apparently once this started happening and this website was put up, no additions appeared in the database since the forum's launch last week.
There you go. Good. Happy ending.
Not even joking.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to start, Brent. Is that okay? We are here today with my old friend, but not old at all, Jenny Yang. Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing fantastic. I just watched the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
How was it? I did not watch. I have not watched the Super Bowl yet. I don't.
Listen, I didn't question. I didn't question when you said, let's schedule this this podcast during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I said yes immediately, but you know what? I had to see Usher.
I mean,
I had to see Usher.
How on brand are we that three homosexuals did not take into consideration that a Super Bowl was happening while we were going to record a podcast? Like,
I mean,
Alan,
I'm still recoiling from you saying I haven't watched the Super Bowl yet.
Oh, I'm not going
to. You're DVRing this?
No. Well, I am DVRing it because A, I needed to see Reba McEntire do the national anthem, and B, I needed to see Usher, even though I don't give a fuck about Usher. I needed to see the halftime show because I feel like it's a responsibility, and I wanted to maybe skim through and see how many shots of Taylor Swift happened.
Yeah.
Jenny, what did you think of I watched it, the halftime show, and I'm wondering what you thought.
I thought Usher is great at grinding his hips, at choreography, at giving us just a taste of the hits, and he took his shirt off. Yeah. So I think that was surprising. I think that was a nice little moment.
Were you surprised?
Like, he's 50.
No, he's not 50. Is he 50? No way. There's no
I think he's like 45.
He's like, 40-something for sure.
He's 45.
Were you surprised? Were you surprised that they chose Usher to be the halftime show? Because I literally thought maybe it would be like a Taylor Swift or someone who maybe is a bit more relevant this past year. You know what I mean?
Wow. What a leading question.
I'm just saying. I'm keeping it real.
Usher has a new album coming out.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Usher has a new album coming out.
So does Reba.
For those who were raised by Usher, always relevant.
Usher's pretty timeless. And by the way, during the halftime show, it was very evident that he has had so many hits, you just forget.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's what I mean by relevant.
I was going to say that's why I agree with Alan, which is like I was equally surprised. And I was going to argue the opposite of what you just said, Elliot. I'm like, I feel like Usher is more of a cultural phenomenon, like a culturally famous person.
Oh, wow.
As opposed
to a huge
singer. I mean, I know he's had a lot of hits, but I guess I always just kind of thought of him as like a guy who's famous about the fact that he's good looking than like, you know.
Oh, no. See, I never even.
No.
I
always thought he was good looking, sure. But I just thought he was famous because, like you said, Jenny, from our childhood, like his hits come from our childhood, not from, like, for example, let's take a Beyonce or a Lady Gaga where they have present day hits that we can refer to recently.
He has hits that are of the modern scale, but you're right. He hasn't had music that's been hugely relevant in the past 5 years, but he's still
like the most relevant thing that I know of him is that last season on the Kardashians, they flew to Vegas and they had to miss his show because someone missed the flight. And that's literally the only thing I've heard of Usher in like 5 years.
Yes. And that is a big show. His Vegas show was very big.
I think
that's why, you know, in the ramp up to his new album, the Usher show was apparently, you know, making ladies, you know, I don't know, scream.
Squirt.
Squirt. Wow. Yes. Yeah. I said scream. You said squirt. And right. I agree.
Squirt
I agree
everywhere.
With both.
I'm shocked by
and
both.
And so I feel like it's been like a ramping up amongst the ladies and amongst Black Twitter, Black TikTok to sort of talk about Usher again. It's a little bit nostalgic.
As we should. Yeah.
You know?
He's been around for a long time and bridged generations by now, you know, only a couple, but enough that he's a heritage act with a residency in Las Vegas. That's pretty, I mean, that's a career.
Him and Erica Jane.
Yeah, Brent.
Him and Erica Jane.
Yeah, totally. Brent.
Wait, Jenny, since you are not Usher's publicist, I want to talk more about you and not
Usher. Oh, yes, let's do that.
Yes. So, Jenny, you are one of the things that I love about you as a comic, because I don't know if we said it before, but you and I go way back in terms of stand-up and doing other things. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
That you are a workhorse. You just get out there and you do the fucking work. I've always respected that about you.
Is that
you.
Right?
Yes, it
oh,
is.
That's
is
that, true.
I don't
yes.
know. I don't know people's, like, you know, impressions
well,
of how I
would
work.
See you.
You're
know?
A boots on the girl, boots on the ground kind of girl.
I would see you
am,
even
huh?
even when I was like too exhausted to go do, like we said, Barney's fucking beanery. You are out there fucking doing it. Like you're going from a big room to Barney's beanery. Like it's just I respect it so much because I don't have the energy. That's why I do a podcast.
Oh, No, and I looked at everyone's little bios just to see like where we at, you know what I mean? And you're working. Well, yes. You're working. Who gives a fart about doing stage time when you're working?
Well, so are you, though. That matters, that's what's
right?
so amazing.
I am.
You are doing so many things. Yeah. You're in Brother's Son on Netflix, which I have to say, I interviewed Michelle Yeoh from it, and I brought you up. And
oh my God, thank you.
I mean, it's such an incredible, funny, weird show on Netflix. How excited were you to do it?
Oh, I cried.
Yeah.
Like literally, yeah. No spoiler alert, but when they said you got the job, you will be doing fight scenes and they will be significant in the show.
Wow.
I literally ran around, like in this room, they said it to me and then I took a lap. And then I was like, oh my God.
Did you do that to physically?
It wasn't just, oh my God. It was, oh my God.
Did you do that to physically prepare? Because if someone told me I had to do a fight scene, I would think of, where's the Spanx? What do I do? How am I going
to
look for certain angles?
I need Alan to have a fight scene. I need that.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, here's the fun part about this. Right before the pandemic, I was on my fitness. I was ready. I was like, I had achieved a lot of the goals I had set out for myself, which are like fair goals. But I was like, let's dream bigger. And then I looked back and I was like, in my childhood, what made me happy? And it was like Hong Kong action comedy, like Stephen Chow, you know, Jackie Chan films. And I was like, what if I train myself to be like an action comedy person, just like, you know, and write myself like an Asian American action comedy, female comedian, action comedy person, because I don't know if there's anyone else who's interested in that. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe Ronnie Chang. Okay. Listen, that man loves his Taekwondo or whatever he does, jujitsu, you know, but like as a female comedian and as someone who's Asian, who wants it to be funny, but also isn't like stick thin, you know, I call myself medium thick and, you know, and I think I'm one of those people who like, sometimes like I have the privilege of forgetting about the Spanx, but then sometimes it's like wardrobes, like maybe you should put it on, you know, like that's, that's where I'm at. If medium thick, you know,
but that's the key to success. Finding that niche, I think for your truly like finding that niche and being like, I don't think anybody else does this,
right?
Yeah,
you know, where nobody thinks about this.
Also,
and
just so brave, brave to ever consider not to wear Spanx. Because I literally the other night before an event, I was like, should I wear Spanx? And then I laughed at myself and was like, what am I? Of course, I need to wear Spanx.
I mean, you know, I would love to just be a medium thicky girl who can still do action. It's so funny. I just did this TikTok with Linda Dong. She's an incredible TikToker. She makes these such funny memes. She has like 5 million followers. Mm-hmm. So funny. I got to be in her like recent TikTok video and, you know, a couple people, you know, because it's like, yeah, hey, how's it going? You were on Brother's Son. How's it been for you? And it's like, it hasn't changed my life. But two people on the TikTok were like, hey, that's the girl from Brother's Son. Aww. And then then you're like, they give it. And then underneath that, which is, this is talking about the thickness, someone goes, oh, she's like an Asian Melissa McCarthy, which number one, let's start there. Incredible compliment.
Oh, incredible.
Of course. Incredible.
Yes. Two-time Oscar nominee.
But there is something about Hollywood and optics where if you are not a size zero, anything above size zero is just big.
Yeah.
Even though people pretend that body positivity has been this,
it's not,
grandiose, all-consuming thing, but it's not.
No,
not at all.
And regular, of course, the double standard for women is so wildly disproportionate than men. I mean,
I disagree
not
with
a
that,
single
Brent.
Person
I disagree with
who
that.
Talk about, you know, John Goodman's weight or something in a TikTok video, but you know, women get
it. I like
how
your reference is John
everywhere.
Goodman. That's like, John that's Goodman. The one fat actor you remember.
Jim Belushi, John Goodman.
John Goodman's a little more zeitgeisty. Go ahead.
No, but like, I don't take it as an offense, but that tells you what the perception is of who I am as someone. Right. And so in my head, I was like, oh, I guess, I'm not the ingenue. I'm the comedian. And if I was an Asian comedian who did action and was able to like pull off John Wick style fights, let's go, you know? And so anyway, fast forward to like the pandemic. I was training for a half marathon right before it. I had paid for 10 one-hour private lessons for kickboxing because I truly was going to shoot my own action comedy shorts.
Love it.
And then the pandemic happened. And then, you know, 20 pounds later and depressed and dad died and fell in love and bought a house. Like, you know what I mean? All these things happened. Yeah. It was like, oh, here I am. Oh, maybe you want to do an action thing for a brother's son. I was like, ah, crap. I had to really work out.
I really did. You brought up, wait,
let me ask this real quick, cause it relates. What was that? What was your preparation like? Cause I, you know, most people, myself included, haven't had to prepare for, to be an action star, to be in an
Hold on. Well, not so fast. Brent spent his childhood preparing to be a stunt. He wanted to be a stunt double professionally and has taken many videos. Early on in our friendship, Brent would send me and Alan videos of himself falling down the stairs.
I have a video of him rolling down my apartment stairs while he stayed at my place one time when I was away. Yeah,
that's a classic. What stopped you? Instagram.
Yeah, what's
I'm a huge pussy and I'm a monster coward, and I in fact didn't want to actually be a stuntman. I just thought it was cool to see like clips from movies where guys like roll down staircases. But what was your prep like for that, Jenny?
Yeah, we started shooting late June, but I started training in early May. So I was out there for 2 months prior to, you know, me going on set.
Yeah.
And then while we were shooting, I did still train 1 to 2 to 3 times, depending on, you know, my schedule a week.
Yeah.
And so I got paid every time I got trained. It was minimum an hour to 2 hours.
That's the way to do it then. Anyone would want to be an action star if they get paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the Kumail Nanjiani dream for comedians. You know what I'm saying? Right. You just get shredded. You bulk, you shred, you cut. Yeah. And then you're like, you're a Marvel superstar.
Yeah.
I didn't get a Marvel treatment. I didn't have like a nutritionist, but you know, I got stronger.
Yeah.
I got stronger. Yeah. I still was medium thick, but I definitely got stronger. My cardio went up and I had to, because I did at least 3 major fight scenes.
Yeah.
Since we don't want to spoil anything.
So good. I mean, everyone,
you
all should go watch it, because I watched it. I watched it before it came out, because I'm one of those people. And I was like raving to people, because it was so, I mean, I love Michelle Yeoh too. So I was so excited to talk to her again. But like, it's just such a fun, weird, funny, badass show that like people need to watch.
Yeah, it's very, the pacing is very like, keeps you binging.
Yeah.
It's grounded by like family dynamics, like a little family drama.
Yeah.
But it is an action comedy. Like there's funny fight scenes. There's, it's a little camp. It edges on camp in certain moments, which is fun. And
I mean,
the first
episode ends with Michelle Yeoh taking a drill to someone's head. So yes, there's a level of camp funny that's happening in the show.
Where she's like talking to her son, Bruce, don't you need to study for your test tomorrow? And then she like
goes in. It's such a funny, and I mean, that's not giving anything away, because they show that in the trailer, I think. But like, it is such it's just fun. You also mentioned like.
And she kills that person, correct? That person dies after she drills their head?
I'd like to think so. I'm trying to
get the general vibe here. Go ahead, Alan. Sorry.
I just wanted to share. You brought up like Tai. Which one is the one where you do like the slow movements? What is
that's Tai Chi?
Tai Chi
or Qigong? Have you done it, Elliot?
No, but Brent, you said your mom does, Brent?
My mom does Tai Chi. Yeah, at the YMCA in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Can I tell you the funniest
thing
I've ever seen? My little brother, God bless him, the most boring person you'll ever meet in your life. He's listening probably. he's like me, but like much taller and much wider, and like he's just a big person. He will stand in our front yard in St. Louis, Missouri, and do Tai Chi, the only white person slowly moving in the front yard in the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri. I drove back home once and I drove into him doing it, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's so cute.
It is not.
I love that.
I mean, he loves it. He's definitely into it. I think it's so funny to see him specifically doing it.
But that makes me happy though. You know, I feel like a man of that stature, of that look, in the middle of a Midwest suburb.
It's a mood.
Doing that.
It's a mood.
No, I feel like it's subversive.
Yes.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, wow.
I love when people surprise you with personality traits and choices that you just did not see coming. That's truly like the best part of life.
Well, and yeah, this is quite a segue, but you're also surprising people every single month at Dynasty Typewriter with your see that segue? I was really happy with that. With your fantastic show, Self Help Me. It's like a competitive self-care comedy show, which I've never seen before, but I'm obsessed with now.
I mean, listen, no one's done this. We're out here finding our niche, okay? Self-Help Me was inspired by my obsession with wellness and self-care and just finding that, like, our hyper-capitalistic kind of economy pushes wellness to be sort of sold at marked up prices, usually by skinny white women, when oftentimes the technology and the gifts that are a part of these sort of wellness and self-care things actually come from either my culture or other indigenous or like people of color cultures. And so, you know, in my head, I was like, you know what? I have something to say and I can make it funny. So let me just do a satirical game show where, you know, I play sort of a character, you know, I say self-care was already competitive. We just found a way to win. And so the whole thing is just like, you all compete with little trivia games on the topic of self-care of the month. Mm-hmm. And I give you points kind of like at midnight after midnight. And then someone gets crowned the queen of self-care and it's just a chance for me to like, you know, write like a opening monologue sort of in character.
Flex your muscles.
Yeah. And every month I write a new show. We have three guests. They compete. We come up with fun little trivia games that we always have jokes for. Little bits. Yeah. It's really fun. And what makes it different too. And, you know, we've really evolved the show since we did it monthly starting April of 2023. We always have an expert. So it's 70% making fun of the topic, but 30% talking about it seriously. And the way I describe the show is that, like, you know, a topic could be breakups, burnout, daddy issues, fitness, whatever, right? And then we always either have a psychologist or someone who is germane to that thing, who's like a professional, who is not expected to be funny. And their job is to give us some wisdom. So for example, so for example, this past week, we did a show about love and dating. It was called Finding the One So finding the ones. We did talk about poly stuff. We talked about just dating in general. And Dr. Ali, who's our expert, you know, I was talking about breakups and how it's supposed to be stressful. And I totally experienced that myself and going back together, especially with someone. And she goes, you know, my mother, Cynthia, I'm not going to take credit for it, has once said to a friend of mine, only dogs go back to their vomit. And I'm telling you, the way the room gasped.
Wow.
Like it was, to me, that is the heart of my show. We always want that one moment that makes you go, oh, let me repeat that. Let's have an Oprah moment. Funny. And then you journal about it later on that night. Maybe you cry in your car. You know what I mean? Like, but then you laughed during the show.
Well, I thought it would. Go ahead, Elliot.
Oh, I was wondering, like, you know, you're in LA. We're all in LA. I've been here for about 7 years, and the semblance and proliferation of sort of wellness culture, woo-woo, you know, metaphysical, spiritual culture is definitely more, at least initially felt more, you know, ubiquitous than it was in New York. But it feels like wellness culture and woo-woo culture of LA and astrology and all of these things has sort of coalesced, and with social media and like influencers, it's become so widespread that everyone has to sort of contend with it being at least being like near it in some capacity.
Yes.
What made it so, you know, accessible to everybody in a way that's just bizarre?
Well, social media, and also we don't have universal healthcare. So, you know, when you don't have a safety net.
Yes.
You're going to look for things to give you some grounding. You know, people are, you know, I think a majority of people don't find traditional organized religion as strong, as important of a part in their life. And so, I mean, this is something that I've been reading about and kind of, you know, fascinated by. I always joke that at any kind of comedian conversation, someone's going to bring up astrology. I will 100% just tune out because I don't, it's another language.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And one of my good friends is Chani Nicholas, who's an incredible astrologer that I actually really resonate with when I hear her talk, but I still just have no grasp.
Yeah.
I have no grasp of it, and yet I'm at a point where somebody but I that's true, but somebody said to me recently, like, somebody was like, what, they asked my sign, and I was like, oh, Gemini, and I guess Gemini with a Gemini rising or something, and they were like horrified by me.
Oh,
and I'm like,
I hate that. This is what annoys me.
I don't want this.
This is exactly, it's Geminis and Scorpios. I'm a Scorpio, and the moment I say Scorpio, they're like, ah! It's like, what? Why?
Why?
How
get
are you judging?
Here.
How
get
are you judging?
I have always thought people who are into astrology are just people who are searching for a personality. They're just boring people. They're just boring people who are obsessed with the wrong thing because they can't be cool otherwise.
I was waiting for Alan to get that in. That said, Elliot, how did they respond to you to being appalled that you're a Gemini? Like,
how did they respond?
Like, did
to
they
me?
Like stop talking to you, or they just were like, "Ew, they you're a Gemini."
They were scared of me.
Oh, wow!
It's
wow.
So
they
messed
were like,
up.
That- yeah, they were like, "Oh, you're scared. You're a double Gemini, so you must be scary." And I'm like, bitch, I'm a baby in Uggs. I'm a baby. Like,
I'm just a little baby.
Little baby.
Wait,
don't be scared of me.
Nobody.
Wait, Ginny, there was something I wanted to do that I didn't tell the guys, but I thought would be funny because your show is so fantastic. I wanted you to be the expert and respond to how we practice self-care and self, just how
that.
We do that each. So I thought it would be fun to have each one of us say one thing that we do to practice self-care that maybe Ginny then can react to and tell us if we're fucked up or not.
Okay.
I'll start because I thought it up. This is so white girl of me, and I know it, but one of the things that I find so therapeutic is to drive myself, no boyfriend, no one can come with me, go by myself to World Market to get a cart and to slowly walk around World Market and put some teas in my cart, maybe just a pillow, maybe a candle, just something. And then when I'm done and I've done the full store, I do it again just in case I forgot anything because I need more therapy.
That's nice.
That's myself. That's how I practice self-care. I did it this last Friday, and honestly, I came home enthused. I could have written
that's
it a novel
lovely,
that night.
Honestly.
It was wonderful.
You were refilling your cup.
Yes.
And you know what? I think that's what that is you're taking time and space for yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Time is a luxury. When you can give yourself that luxury, it's nice. And so I think, you know, I do believe, I mean, it's not the end all be all, but I do believe in retail therapy. Mm. And some of it is more about the process rather than the actual what you get, you know, because I love doing that. I rarely do that. Actually, I should. Yeah. Where there's no time limit. Yeah. You just kind of go. No one's waiting for you. Yeah. I put on a podcast, you know, and I just browse.
I got a cute little ramen bowl that I'm obsessed with now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe I need a magnet. Maybe I need dry flowers.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Oh, Elliot, what's yours?
My self-care is sound baths. As I know I was just ragging on astrology, and I don't ever have any sort of metaphysical manifestations while I'm in a sound bath, but I love a sound bath. I think when they are done right, they're the best sleep I've ever had. And they're perfect. Like it's the silliest thing, but I love a sound bath.
Why are they laughing?
Because it's.
Why are you laughing?
Because we know this about him, and I did a sound bath with Elliot once, and I kept teasing him the whole time that he was quote tweaking his nipples the whole time.
I don't even remember that.
When Kylie did our sound bath, she was just breaking into the biz. But yeah, this Elliot became when he moved to the West Coast, he became very like hippie in that regard, mm-hmm. and he started really diving into a lot of these sort of self. Care rituals. Sorry, Jenny, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I think that's beautiful. I think things that are, if you just sort of at first glance could be like, oh, that sounds funny. I can like laugh at it. I embrace self-care and wellness. That's why it's 30% real and 70% making fun of for self-help me because it helps you. And I think what any of these things do, walking around, you know, cost plus or, you know, doing surrounding yourself with sonic waves and sort of creating the space. It's all about pausing usually.
Yeah.
And it's about re-sensing who you are internally or physically, you know, like,
yeah, it's,
like
and it's just soothing. It,
yes.
I mean, for me, it's just, I don't pretend that there's some sort of like, euphoric, you know, epiphany happening.
No.
That I see colors or I weep. You know, they're like, if you cry, it's okay. And I'm like, I'm just asleep. But it's like that meditative sleep that is so calming.
Yeah. Yes.
When it's, no, when it's done it. Right. I mean, it has to be in the right setting. But the, I will say the first time I did one, I didn't know what it was. And I entered, at, it was sort of this like outdoor festival that was sort of metaphysical, but they called it a sound bath with dinner. And oh, I was like, what a weird,
go for
what
that.
A weird combo. But it was at 3 p.m.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then I realized that it was sound a sound bath led by a gentleman named Dinner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what?
That sounds like a joke someone wrote.
Oh, wow.
Wait, it was awesome. Wait.
Brent, what's yours? What's yours?
Well,
Brent, you can't, I was, please don't say OnlyFans or nipple plant. Or...
I was actually laughing because I thought for a second, I'm like, you know, I go to the gym regularly and I do really like it. I go to the gym for mental reasons. It just keeps me happy and sane. But then
yeah.
I thought a little bit harder and I was like, no. And I did it this weekend and it's a really wonderful self care ritual for me. I really like charging my iPod Nano. I fill a Diet Coke with a couple shots of whiskey. And then I sit on the bus on the way to West Hollywood and I slowly drink while listening to music. And wait, I love
that is wait. I have to chime in here for Brent because he texted me while on the bus drinking that Diet Coke can filled with rum. And he was like, I'm jamming out on my iPod Nano to the Staircase soundtrack, a show about murder.
The murder documentary soundtrack.
On the bus, you know, on the bus.
With an iPad, you know what, iPod Nano.
Nano.
You know what, though? It sounds silly, and of course it is absurd. I recognize that. But I like mass transit because it makes me feel connected to the community in which I live. It's like a solid hour where I get to slowly get drunk. I don't drink as much as I used to, which is another thing I'll throw out. I don't drink as much as I used to. So it's like this kind of slow, nice, like Friday or Saturday night where I'm kind of slowly getting buzzed. And then I like either meet a friend at a bar or something.
So essentially like what a vagrant does. A vagrant who finds an iPod Nano from 15 years ago.
But you know what? A vagrant needs luxury too.
You're right. Okay? And you're right.
There's a reason why vagrants do what Brent does.
You're right.
So
you're totally right.
Let's not yuck that young.
It's a good way to live.
Well, what is your answer, Jenny? What's your like prime self-care routine?
Oh, it's so type A, but I love to clean.
That's okay.
Oh, you love to clean.
Oh my God, Jenny, I love you for clean. This.
I like to clean. I like to tidy up. It makes me feel cleansed.
Do you get
inside.
Off to a vacuum?
I love a vacuum.
Because I have this Dyson that literally makes me hard. It is just, there's nothing more erotic.
How are you using the nozzle?
No, I get off, like when my boyfriend is like leaves, because he's a designer, there's always fabric and stuff on the floor. And I'm just like, oh no, leave it on the floor. I'll take care of it. And I pull out my Dyson.
And you have a cat, so that probably helped.
Yes.
Like,
yes, true.
Right.
You know,
but still.
Yeah, no, I love to clean. Oh. I do feel like that's such a nerdy little thing. I've learned to also do like meditation, like guided meditations.
Mm,
that
love
is
it.
Nice. And then
use an app.
I have Peloton, so I just use their guided meditation.
Sure.
And then the other thing that's really been helpful is just taking walks. I definitely started doing
love
that
walks.
More during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think yes. I feel like a lot of people discovered the simple joy of that, of just like, okay, let's just go.
Yeah. Walking is wonderful. Yeah. Truly. I love walking.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I think getting out of your apartment is out of the space in which you live is really important because it's easy to kind of spiral in your head with anxiety about whatever it is in your life that is going wrong. And and once you get out and remind yourself there's a world outside of the, you know, the four walls in which you live, it really is therapeutic.
Wow.
And as mental health experts always say, nothing goes better with that sort of escape than pouring rum into a Coke bottle and then getting 100. On the bus.
Yeah. 100.
Still, like, no, one of the things. 7 p.m.
No, Brent, I get it because, you know, I always love visiting New York City. And for extended periods of time, I spent a summer there right after college living there and working there. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And then I was like, no, my family is in LA, so I'm going to move to LA.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love doing in New York was just walking. Like, even though it could have been just a subway ride, just me being like, you know what, I'm going to leave early and I'm just going to like take a little sippy cup of something with me and we're just going to walk and like listen to a podcast, listen to music. I feel like creating horizontal time, you know, rather than just sort of linear time, I think that's like a really beautiful thing to do. And there's different ways we can do it with a sound bath, whatever. Yeah. And so I always kind of think of
world
it
market,
like,
maybe.
Yes, world market. How do we create space to feel a sense of like amplitude, a little wideness in the time rather than go, 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 you know?
Jenny, this was so much fun. Thank you for doing the podcast. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, gosh. You can always go to my website, jennyyang.tv, for all of my tickets for upcoming shows. I'm going to be at Netflix's A Joke Festival for Self Help Me, and that's going to be fun. And then at Jennyyang TV for everything else, Instagram, TikTok. I told myself I'm going to do more TikToks. I love Alan's, like, you know, snippets of pop culture. I die for it. And I'm trying to figure out my little, like, ooh,
your
how
little
am I going
to
express myself?
You do it very well, and everyone should watch The Brothers on Netflix. Go watch it. Thank you, Jenny.
Do it
now.
Thank you.
And another thing.
This came up on the podcast recently with one of our guests, but it got me wondering, and I think I know the answer to this for both of you. That said, if you got married, would you ever, under any circumstances, change your last name? Alan, let's start with you.
I mean, I feel I'm known by a lot of names that are not my given name. So I don't think it would matter if I did, because it would just be like, okay, he's changed his name again.
I
wouldn't. I wouldn't. Also, I mean, I think that's kind of an outdated practice, too. I don't know. I just feel like.
Are you surprised when people do it now, especially like women with men?
I'm not surprised.
We were going to get into that. Wait, let me just say real quick. So are you telling me you're never going to be H. Allen Brambilla? Is that what you're telling me right
never,
now?
Never, never, ever, never.
H. Allen Scott Brambilla.
Can you imagine? I can't. No, I wouldn't. I would rather people just make up a shared name, a fun name that they like, you know, like Poopy Pants.
Yeah. But then that's dumb. Like, I think I've heard that phenomenon a couple times where people will combine their last names. You're like, no, just keep your fucking name. Like, that's almost dumber. It's like, why would you go through the process of changing your name everywhere, professionally, for tax reasons, on, I guess, social media or whatever, and then you're not even changing it because of some, you know, long tradition of changing your name because you get married. You're combining it. It's fucking dumb. I don't know. I don't get it.
We have a friend who, our friend Brandy, took her husband's last name, and he, as a way of like matching her, made her last name his middle name.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I didn't
that's
know.
Cute.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. That's interesting.
It's really the sweetest. Sweet. I think that's the cutest thing.
Wow. Yeah. No.
Elliot,
No, I would keep my last name the way it is. Although when I was a child, I had, as a precocious child, I had stage names ready to go.
Oh, what were they?
The one that I had on my brain was Carter Gelstar.
Oh.
Because Gellis, and I was combining my grandmother's maiden names.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So gay, so Jewish. And then Carter for some reason.
Yeah, wow. No, Carter's a good name. Actually, I think that works. The Gelstar, I'm not entirely on board with.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a gas or a gaslighting company.
Yeah, yeah. a company that professionally gaslights.
Or gas and fuel, I should say.
Yeah, 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 right.
What about you?
My mom never changed her name. She kept her maiden name. And so it was sort of built into me. I mean, certainly also obviously culturally as a guy, I guess you don't think that you'll ever change your name. But my sister-in-law didn't change her name either. She kept her maiden name. And I, to your point, Elliot, I have zero judgment of anyone who chooses to change their name, unless you're doing some stupid combination of two names. But I have zero judgment of that. Of changing your name. That said, I've had a few friends who did change their names who I would say were particularly, you know, I would say particularly outspoken in their feminist views. And I just was a little surprised when they changed their names again, bearing in mind that I didn't judge them one way or the other.
Interesting.
Have you had that reaction?
Yeah, I mean, there's something romantic about it to a degree, to be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't do it, but I can see what about it is sweet and romantic, even if it feels, you know, older and traditional.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I would, if I had a child with a partner, I would probably conjugate their last name, sure. Which is,
but then what
annoying,
do you do?
I always see now,
Brent. So you took your father's name, or like they gave you your dad's last name, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wonder in that situation, because like one of the things that complicates it all is when you have children. So stop having kids.
Yeah.
No, but when because you can't, like, if you're doing the whole thing, if everyone just agrees to, like, you know, put the two names together, well, then that's going to really fuck up the kid when they get older, because then they're going to be like, well, what name do I give my kid? Do I give them both these names and my spouse's name? Mm-hmm. Like, do I do, like, and then this kid's going to have three names, or we're going to be the British, like, royal family at some point where we have like 17 different names. And so it's kind of, it creates a really interesting problem in that. And also it's really fascinating too. Why do we even have last names? Because we have not always had last names over the span of human race. So, like, why is that even a thing? Do we need a last name even? Like, what's the importance of a last name?
Oh, you need a last name.
For what?
I would say
no,
easier.
You don't. No, you don't need it you don't need it for ID or any legal things. There's no legal reason to have a last name, really, if you think about it. Like, what legal reason? Why can you not just be Elliot on your license and then have your number and your social security number and all those things be your identifier? Like, you don't need your last name.
I hadn't envisioned this conversation spiraling into an anti-last name chat.
No, I'm just saying, think about it. Why do we
a ton of thought?
When did this start?
My understanding was that I guess I had never considered that last names might not have been prevalent hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think probably with the onset of, you know, modern society, I think there's been, you know,
yeah,
at least in Western culture, commonly there have been last names to, I guess, help with identification.
They're also so interesting.
I mean,
I love names and last names. Although I think it would be cute if our IDs said like Elliot G, Brent S, you know, like it's like nursery school.
Well, now I'm envisioning a scenario in which, like, you witnessed someone like murder someone somewhere, and they're like, "Who did it?" You're like, "Mike." And they're like, "Yeah, but which one?" They're like, "I don't fucking know. I only know his first name."
Mike B.
What would your aunt say?
Brent, what would your Aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
For once, Alan and I have something in common. We both always wear Spanx.
My Aunt Joanne would say, I know he's not playing in the game, but Julian Edelman, apparently not Jewish.
Okay.
How about Aunt Anne
would say, I'll tell you how I practice self-care, and it's spelled B-R-E-A-D, Bered.
I thought you were spelling my name for a second. I was like, oh boy.
I thought you were spelling breast. Oh,
there you go. And Elliot
big old
doesn't
movies.
Like to end on a blue note. He doesn't like to end on a blue note.
We'll end on go sports. Hut,
guys,
hike.
The Super Bowl's over. Give it up. Give it up.
Work the house down boots. That's what I say.
Work the house down boots.
What is the technical?
Work the house down boots.
Work the house down boots.
Elliot, say serving cunt.
Serving cunt.
By the way, Alan, I texted Elliot this week. This came up on the podcast that I love when he does his impression of my impression of Mary.
Oh yeah.
I've pleaded with him. And I teased him on the podcast. I'm like, he never sends me that, you know, a video of him doing an impression, which would be, I texted him about it this week. Oh, nothing. All week.
He texted me a screenshot of his calendar. Text Elliot to get clip of him as Mary. I'm going to. I actually meant to do it that day, but I'm going to do it.
OK. Can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait.
Alan got the text of the week, though. That Jocelyn, that staircase text. That was the gem.
It actually inspired us to start watching the series again. So there you go.
Oh, fun. Maybe I'll watch it along.